the rising of the sun, most holy we will sing to you our morning song of praise. For comfort through the dark of night, your presence in the morning light, for hope renewed and wrongs made right, we praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. From the rising to the setting of the sun, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. From the rising to the setting of the sun.
Continue our worship by looking at the scripture now in the book of James, chapter 2. My brothers and sisters, what good is it if people say they have faith but do nothing to show it? Claiming to have faith can't save anyone, can it? Imagine a brother or sister who is naked and never has enough food to eat. What if one of you said, "Go in peace, stay warm, have a nice meal"? What good is it if you don't actually give them what their body needs? Amen.
Thank you, Dr. Tyson. And I'm going to be at the pulpit today. My voice is a little weak, and I'm going to keep my water glass close to me. I like the way the CEB says that. That's really good. That's right, the CEB, Common English. Okay. So that... We're getting feedback there. Sorry about that. He was using the Common English version of the Bible, and a very neat translation. Very good. So, would you pray with me? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the text that we have heard read. Lord, it strikes deep into our heart, and it just empowers us to think deeply about our own actions, what we say, what we do, how that all comes together. Lord, illuminate our souls and our minds in this very moment, and let the words that are spoken be not of human origin, but of yours. It's in Christ's name we do pray. Amen. When I was in seminary, one of the things that I did, and I have mentioned it before, I believe, if not, I apologize. That's the thing about 27 years of ministry, you start saying, have I already said this? But I worked on computers, and it was a hobby, and it was what I was going to do before I became a pastor. It was just something I kept up. It's always good to have a skill like that, and especially when it comes to repairing those computers and whenever technology does misbehave, and I understand. So we have this thing where whenever the computer has an issue and you have to go into a major teardown, breakdown, take it apart, remove a part, Put in a new motherboard. That's a big deal. That's the thing you didn't want to hear at one time. Nowadays, they're so cheap, it's almost like, well, the motherboard goes out, then just go get another computer. So you would go and you would install this new motherboard, you'd put all the parts in, and then you would pray, and then you'd hit the power switch. If it didn't smoke, you were good. That was generally the telltale sign that things were over. Now, I've had things before that, laptops especially, that I have seen smoke come off of them before, and that's never, ever a good sign. Someone once said, that's the spirit of the computer leaving it when you see the smoke. Or the money out of your wallet, it's more like it. My favorite story with that is that I kept telling my older brother one time, he was in a CPE program with me, which is training for chaplaincy. Everybody who was in seminary is required to go through that in MTS. And he would take his computer from his car in 30-degree weather and bring it into the warm classroom. And I said, Kevin, you're going to keep doing that, and what's going to happen is it's not going to be pretty one day. Sure enough, we get into class, he opens his laptop, he turns it on, and the laptop goes, pfft. That's the end of it. They condensate, they get wet, they get cold, you bring them in, they really condensate, and as it warms up, but it's sometimes just not a good thing. Maybe you've had your own smoke test. I know there are those who have worked on technology of any kind. That's just not a computer thing. Carl Pickett, I bet you've had that before where you plug something in, and if it works, you're golden, but if it smokes, then we know we got more work to do. It's the real test is what it is. You can say one thing and do one thing, but when you flip the switch, you know real quick if it's going to work or not. You see, today we're going to be talking about the difference between saying that we love God and actually living out that love for God, right? And we are at the end of this sermon series about being all in. Being all in to God, all into faith, all into loving God. And you see, this is what we've learned so far from the text, that love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, all of who you are, every bit of who you are, we love God. But you see, Jesus didn't stop at that point when he is teaching this lesson. When he was asked what is the greatest commandment, he gave not only the commandment that everybody knew from Deuteronomy 6:5, which we just repeated, but he added to it. Now, the Jewish tradition, they knew this lesson. It was still very much a part of their lesson, but it gets forgotten. The second part of this, which is to love your neighbor as you love yourself. But you see, it gets back to the idea of understanding what does love really mean. Or like that old song from the 80s, what's love got to do with it, right? So what is it? Is love merely just a passing emotion that we might have? Is it something that we have for a friend or someone we have known for many years? Is it love that we have for our spouse and those whom we are intimately connected with in our life? Is it the romance? Is that what love really is? Is it the love that we have, oh, especially this time of year, for our favorite food? That kind of love. There's a t-shirt I wish I could have bought it just to have for today. And, you know, and just like on Facebook, they have the different things you can say about your relationship. You know, in a relationship, not in a relationship, married, single, it's complicated, that kind of thing, right? And on this t-shirt, it says relationship status, essentially, and it says in relationship, not in a relationship with French fries, or an open relationship with French fries, that's what it is. So maybe it's our love for food that we speak of and our passion and desire, especially when you're on a low-carb keto diet. Maybe the French fries really do seem something that are tantalizing and calling you late at night. Then the Taco Bell commercials at midnight truly are evil. But what does Scripture say about love? It says in 1 Corinthians 13:13, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. And we've shared this in multiple weddings, and this is a common text that I will use because it reminds us that it is the love that is the basis of a strong marriage and the love that we have in our life. But it is not just an emotional type of love. This is a love that is based upon godly love. The word is agape. And you see, Jesus adds this into the greatest commandment. To love God with all of who you are. And then he adds it on there. It's the ampersand, if you will, to this first part. To love God means that we are called to love our neighbor. It's an if and a then, and it is not an or. That's the thing about it. I remember from the computer days when you would do programming, and it's still that way, there are these two commandments that you can have. You could say and or you could say or. Same way with your spreadsheets if you use those. And or do two totally different things. And requires both things to be true, or says it can be either, right? Jesus is not giving us an or in this. He is giving us that ampersand. He is giving us that and he is saying, in order for us to love God, we need to love our neighbor as well. You see, it is not enough just to love God. I hate to break it to you. It's not enough just to love God. To love God compels us to love one another. And this isn't some sort of cheesy kind of love that we might find on some sort of expensive card that's sitting on the stand. It is a love that is eternal. It is a love that is powerful and that is earth-shaking, that James tells us. He says, you just can't say you love someone. You've got to show it, man. We used to have a saying in seminary, it said, does your orthodoxy match your orthopraxy? Does what you say match what you do? Do what you believe come out in what you do? You see, that's the problem in the church these days. They see a bunch of hypocrites because we say a lot of stuff, but man, we do a whole lot of other things. And the reality is bless you. That was an amen, actually. And the reality is, we're all broken. And we're all messed up. But you know, God loves us. God wants us to love on him, and God wants us to love on our neighbor. But does what we practice and what we say, do they come together to show that love? We have coming up this next weekend, I believe it opens, is the new movie with Mr. Rogers and Tom Hanks. And yes, I am giddy with emotion over it. I don't go to movies often. You can ask my wife that. And I just don't. And this is one I am definitely going to go see. You know, I'm hoping I don't get, you know, just disturbed or upset by it because you kind of build into the hype, you know. Because to me, he was such the iconic person that showed how one could be a Christian in the secular world and make the difference. He knew how to ride the line there to be able to keep a foot over in theology and a foot in the secular side. And to be able to bridge the two together. And that is a rare gift. He said once, he said, and the greatest thing we can do, this is Mr. Rogers, it's to let people know that they are loved. And this is the second part I like. Not only to let them know they are loved, but they're also capable of loving. Capable. When I was a boy and I would see scary things in the news, my mother would say, look for the helpers. You will always find people who are helping. You know, that is the answer to when people say, where is God when you're in the midst of terrible tragedies? This is the profound answer that we give people that is so true, that as Christians, as believers, this is where we are called to serve and to be very much the hand and feet of Jesus, not just the mouthpiece. Back to Mark 12. This is where we began with this sermon series when Jesus was asked about what is the greatest commandment. And he was asked by an educated man and one that would know the law and well understand it. And truthfully, after reading the next part of this passage, I realized that this was not really a trap. This was somebody that was really wanting to know Jesus' opinion and what he believed. And Jesus gave him that answer. He gave them to love the Lord your God with all of who you are, and then to love your neighbor as yourself. And this is the response. If we were to go on to Mark 12, 32 through 33, this is the response of the person who has heard what Jesus has said, who asked the question initially, and this is what he said. He said, "Well said, teacher." You can almost see the exclamation in it. The man replied, "You are right in saying that God is one and there is no other but him. But to love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and," there's the ampersand, "to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." Friends, that was a drop the mic moment. Because when this individual replied to Jesus and he said, "You are right, and to love our neighbor is far greater than any tradition, rite, or ritual we have ever performed or done," is greater than any of that. You can have all of it together. You can say it perfectly, do it perfectly, run through all of the proper traditions and all of our beautiful liturgy of the past, which I love. But yet if you don't love your neighbor, if you don't care for the people around you, if you don't honestly care and love for them in a very true way, you have missed everything else. And also, the problem that is here many times is not just the concept of loving our neighbor, but the second part of that. Jesus says, "Love your neighbor as yourself." And friends, frankly, we don't love ourselves very much. Now, I'm not talking about some sort of New Age philosophy in a sense of just, you know, love yourself, man. Be at peace and be happy. But I mean, really having a heart that is plugged in and built upon strength with God and be content in the Lord and let God be within us, in our heart, and really truly have a great understanding of the love that is in our life to appreciate where we are, what God is doing within us, and what God is calling us to be firmly grounded in that kind of love. And if we hate ourselves, if we can't stand ourselves, there's a great opportunity for us to hate and we can't stand others. Francis Bacon said it, you know, the famous person from our history who said essentially the correlation that is here, basically a loving our neighbor as we love ourselves, is that we will hate our neighbor as we hate ourselves. And this is true. It really makes you question and think. Do I love myself? Do I love myself in the way that God loves me? Do I have that agape love within me? Do I have better understanding of where I should be? This isn't about just saying that we don't need any improvement in our life and that kind of thing. And this isn't about acknowledging our own brokenness and our sins, because we need to do that. We need confession. We need the moment to be able to say to God, "I am broken and I need to be made whole and I need to be healed." But we also need to be willing to say, "God loves me right here where I'm at, and that love for me is so pure and holy. It will come into my life and I will share this love with others. And I'll put it into practice." You see, I think that this is, people talk what's wrong with the world today, and I think this is truly what's at the heart, what's wrong with the world. In the Christian church, we don't practice the love of neighbor anymore. We have a hard time practicing it with those whom we don't know, and we have a hard time as well practicing it, especially, seems like, with those whom we do. How we treat one another, how we care for one another. It's more important that we're right. It's more important that our opinion matters. It's more important that we push and push and push. What if it was more important that we showed God's love? You know, Jesus himself even said this, and essentially in Matthew 5, this is the one thing that really could put one's salvation in jeopardy, and that is not being able to forgive one's brother or sister. With our own life, how are we showing love? How are we living out that love? To be truly all in to God is to be truly all in to showing the love to others. And yes, showing that love to yourself and reminding yourself of how much God loves you. Are we all in today? Are we really all in for this great and wonderful ride of being a Christian that, yes, even in our brokenness and our messed upness, if you want to call it that, God still uses us and desires to use us and loves us right in where we are so that we may take the love and show this love to others, not in a self-righteous way, but yet in a way that is redeeming, reconciling, and brings people to faith, does not drive them away. To get the full picture, it's not just loving God, it is truly loving those around us with the love of God. This brings us all in. This brings it together. And friends, the rest of the story that is here comes after it. This is where we begin and where we stand and where we end in our faith. Let us pray. God, we thank you for this, your text today, and we pray, O Lord, that we will be people that respond in love and actions of love. God, as we prepare to bring before you these pledge cards, these promises for the year to come, we ask that you will continue to guide us to serve as your church, that these are expressions of love that go into action, that go into making the difference. O Lord, we thank you for the love that never fails and the love that we can share in you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. I remind you, as we stand to sing our final song today, you are invited to come forward and to drop your pledge cards in the, I'm going to bring the offering plates up, and hopefully they won't fall over. Yeah. And you can place them right here. Would you stand and let's sing together as we present our pledge?
My mother's time, my days, heaven flowing, sweetness, praise.
Tyson, if you will hold up that plate, and I'll hold this one up. And we're going to ask God to consecrate and bless these gifts, okay? These pledges for the next year. Let us be in the spirit of prayer. Oh God, we thank you for the opportunity to give these gifts to you, these promises, these pledges. And we know that they are but a piece of paper, but there within lies our heart. And we pray, oh God, that you will bless these very gifts and use them for your kingdom and bless those who have shared them. In the name of the Father and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. And now I'll send the acolytes out, and as they go out carrying the light of Christ into the world. It reminds us that we too are called to do so. Go and be blessed, my friends. Now you can roll.
Thank you for listening to our regular Sunday morning worship service from the First United Methodist Church in Mountain Home. Join us again next week at this same time.
KTLO-FM 97.9 in Mountain Home, the voice of the Twin Lakes area.